Blog Talk Radio.
With Startup Radio, and I welcome you all back. We've had a couple weeks of respite with the holiday and other matters going on, but today we certainly have what I perceive is going to be a very informative program for individuals and their small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs with Kelly Azevedo. She is with us here today, and as many of you may know, she is the CEO and founder of She's Got Systems. She's going to talk with us here today about She's Got Systems, about how she came up with that, and any other advice and thoughts that the listeners may want and come about through our discussion. Kelly is a graduate from Liberty University with a business degree. She has quite an extensive background and has appeared in the New York Times, Washington Post, Inc., Forbes, and many more substantive publications, both as a feature of somebody else's article and her own articles as well. Welcome to the show, Kelly. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me, Charles. I'm glad to be here today.
So what is She's Got Systems? What do you do?
Well, my technical term is probably like systems expert, systems ninja. We kind of have fun with it because what I found in working in the corporate environment is that I'm very good at seeing the big picture. And then while people are creating this vision for what they want in their business, my mind starts filling in all the little steps along the way. And so with She's Got Systems, what I've created is a business that serves online entrepreneurs to help them see those steps. Because we find that there's a great amount of inspiration, and then everyone gets stuck on implementation. So She's Got Systems is my way of helping in this area where it's hard to find mentors, and it's hard sometimes to find people who can help you get each step of the journey so you can become successful in your business.
Well, let's take a step back for a minute and ask, what is a system? If somebody says, I need help with my system, is that how they ask the question, or is it more that they need help running their business and the system is the implementation of what their goals are, as you just said? So could you define for me and our listeners what a system is in this context?
Absolutely. So most people don't say, oh, I need systems. They just identify what their problem is. So I hear things like, I'm having trouble following up with my leads, or I don't get my newsletter out regularly, or even simpler things like my email's out of control. And so for me, a system is simply deciding how you want to do something on a regular basis that will serve your business. And
I think,
and also systems serve you. Yeah.
Yeah, if I could interrupt you just for a second, I think that many people probably say those things, say the email's out of control or I'm not able to keep up with XYZ. I imagine that would be something that you hear quite often.
Yeah, and it kind of started off as kind of a glib, like, I've got a system for that, because as I am just naturally very organized and disorder kind of drives me crazy, I would just come up with these systems of the way I do things. And then as I was working in other online businesses, they were constantly asking me, can you teach our team how to do that? You know, can you teach other people how to answer customer service? Can you help other people figure this out? And so I was naturally teaching the systems that I came up with to keep myself from going crazy. And I saw that this was a big need because most entrepreneurs get great ideas, and they're great at starting, and they see these visions and they run, and they're weaker on implementation and follow through, and that's where I'm strong. So I find it really balances out well with entrepreneurs who kind of have that bright, shiny object syndrome to kind of ground and help them develop ways of working in their business to reach the goals, like having a nice clean inbox or being able to find emails when they're looking for them, or even just having good follow-up so that they're closing more clients because they're actually following through and they're not forgetting that they do need to do follow-up if they want clients to come work with them.
Hmm. Well, how did you, so is that how you founded She's Got Systems, as people were asking you to help them, or as you were doing that with your employer, you just realized that, hey, I could do this myself? What was the spark that led you to turn this into your own startup or your own business?
Yeah. Well, it really started a few years before this being an online business, because I worked a typical kind of corporate job in accounting, and I managed a lot, and I had a review with my boss, and I heard, you're so efficient, you're great, you aren't wasting time, like, fixing mistakes because you get things done right the first time, and we've never had anyone as good as you doing this job. So as a result, we're cutting your hours and your pay by 20%, and thanks a lot. And I was just dumbfounded, because I had a lot of other ideas and skills and opportunities out there to help the business grow, and they just kind of, you know, showed me their value system, that it was all going to come down to the dollar, and that the more efficient I was, the less work I would have. And I knew there was an opportunity there, because even though I was very angry at the time, I quickly could see that there was a group out there who loved the fact that if you say we're going to get this done in 5 hours and you get it done in 3, they're happy, they're pleased, they don't punish you. And so I created She's Got Systems because I wanted to work with those online businesses who love it when you're faster than anticipated, who love it when you get results quicker. And, you know, I started, you know, just working in, I was very fortunate at the beginning to work in 2 or 3 million-dollar online businesses and see how the systems that I had already done in the corporate world really fit into an online business, and what works for online business and what doesn't, because it's a whole different game than, you know, building a corporation or working at a typical desk job.
So is that why you focus solely on online businesses? Have you been approached mm-hmm. by others outside of the online environment?
I have been approached, and the majority of the systems that I teach are really designed for the online business. Now, a lot of, like, brick-and-mortar companies have an online component, whether that's sending out a newsletter or, you know, being on social media. But what I find is that the online business has so many challenges, because we employ people that we may never meet from countries we've never visited. We tend to have a lot of contacts through social channels, and it's just much harder to kind of get a grasp on what you're supposed to be doing every day when you go into your business to keep reaching your goals. And, you know, people, entrepreneurs are some of the smartest people I know, and they know things like, I need to network, or I need to get partners, or I need to make sales. But that is just such a huge goal, and that's the result. And so the systems that I create really help the entrepreneurs understand, like, what are the steps that we're going to take to get there, you know, and what's going to work best for their own business. Because a lot of this work is very personalized to the industry that you're in and the goals that you have within that industry.
Does that require you to learn something about the industry in which they are in to be able to adapt that personalized mm-hmm. approach?
Yeah, a lot of times my clients come in and, you know, they are well-versed in their industry and what works and what doesn't. So we can quickly go through and see, you know, is it, you know, personal touch emails that are going to work? Is it in person? Is it letters? Like, you know, what is it that you've been doing that has worked, and how can we just turn it up a notch? And sometimes you really, it does help that I haven't been in an industry before, because everyone will say, well, that doesn't work in this industry. And it's because it hasn't been tried yet. And so I like to bring in a lot of ideas that, you know, you might think, well, that doesn't work for graphic designers, or that doesn't really work for health coaches. And it's usually those clients who can break out of that thinking and go, okay, why don't we try that and test it and see if it will really work for us. And we've had some really great success by thinking outside of industry standards, because if you're doing things that everyone else is doing, you're just going to blend in. And so a lot of times it is, you know, saying, well, this worked in another industry. How can we make it work in yours so that you're doing something unique and you're drawing that attention to your business because you're not like everybody else out there?
Yeah, and, you know, in running my own business or businesses, I'm always looking for, you know, inspiration or ideas from whatever industry I happen to be reading about. I mean, it may be just the curiosity of reading about whatever is going on in, let's say, fracking or whatever the topic might be. But as I myself start reading about what some of the businesses are doing or management's doing, it's intriguing to keep an open mind to that. So after you've talked with people about that and say, you know, let's think about X, and they say, well, that's not really done, but that sounds interesting, let's try it. Do you think that their mindset has then been adjusted to be more receptive on their own to new ideas that they may come across, or is it still more you as the systems expert or systems ninja that feeds them that information? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I really hope that it is, with most of my clients, I see it as opening their mindset to just seeing the different possibilities, because, you know, it really is a shift, like you identified, between just saying, here's what everyone tells me I'm supposed to do, and sometimes it just doesn't fit. I mean, yeah, I've worked with people in a lot of professions, you know, professionals such as, you know, lawyers and doctors, and, you know, people go, well, that just isn't done. But you can tell, like, deep within that that's something they would love to do, but it's just not a lawyer thing to do. Or, you know, it's just not really what's expected of me in this field. But what they start to realize is when they break out of the mold and say, you know what, I am a physician, but I also, you know, do yoga and travel the world, that more people are drawn to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is kind of opening up to accept that there are so many clients out there who need what you do, but you really just got to be authentic. And that's what I love about systems, is it's not about putting you into a box, and it's not about putting you into my way of doing things. What I work on with my clients is to help them understand what serves them and their business. So I don't make anybody create a calendar that gets them up at 6 a.m. and, you know, work for 12 hours straight, because it wouldn't work. The systems have to really reflect you and your life and your business. Otherwise, you're not going to follow them, and I'm not going to be very helpful. Right. So it really is about helping my clients understand what they need. And then in some ways, I'm just giving them permission to say, this is what I need, and go after it. Because once they get that, you know, the systems, they go for years. I met clients this last week at a conference who are still using systems we set up a year ago.
No kidding.
And I actually got to meet one person who is working for a former client of mine and gave me a hug and said, I love your newsletter system. And this is somebody who I never met but is in the business I used to work in, and that's still working for the business. And I love that.
Do you have your own newsletter then?
I do. I have my own newsletter that goes out every Wednesday with system tips and ideas, and it covers a wide range of things, because, you know, you really could create a system for anything in your business. But I like to give just really quick actionable items and help people say, oh, okay, I could try that. And then once they start building systems in their business, they usually think, I don't know how I worked without these, because
right.
they make it easy, and it kind of resolves that anxiety of, what am I supposed to be doing? Because if you don't have a boss and you don't have, you know, somebody telling you what to do, really, it's wide open. And some people get really stuck at that spot because they're the person who's supposed to set the agenda and they don't know what to do next.
Well, let's talk about some real-world practicalities. What
sure.
would you say, is one of the more difficult projects that you've come across?
I think the most difficult project that I've worked with is clients who are adjusting the pay structure of their business, as in they need to start billing differently, or who are somehow raising their rates and packages. Because there tends to be a lot of fear that, well, as soon as I change something, everyone's going to hate me, and I'm going to lose all the clients I have now, and I'm going to have to start over. And so I really love working in those situations because, to me, it's all about explaining and communicating how the changes you're making are going to better serve your client. And so a lot of times it's a financial pressure, or you realize that your rates are too low and you know you need to do the shift. But I really love this situation because it really is about that, like, stepping out in faith and saying, I know I bring a lot of value. I know I'm giving even more value. And here's how my business is changing to reflect that. And I like doing that, those kind of emails or communication with the clients where we role play, you know, how are you going to introduce to this client who's been with you for 3 years that you're raising your rates or that you're offering new packages? And I love that because it's so creative and it really does help the client immediately start to get more money into their business and respect the fact that they bring so much value. They shouldn't be charging the same price as they charged 5 years ago.
Right. Do you think that they realize then that in implementing the system, are they surprised at the success or the results that they end up obtaining?
Absolutely. One of the clients who I met with over the summer, we revisited this that we'd worked on earlier, and he said at the time, we had our highest month of collections in 5 years of business, with a lot less work. And it kind of opened the eyes to, it doesn't have to be a struggle if you really just put the time and thought into it, because he was so surprised. His clients are still happy. They're still getting great value. Now they're just paying on time, and the team isn't working and working and working, wondering if, you know, the payment's coming in. Because
right.
we set up new billing systems, and we were able to talk to their clients about that in a way that showed their clients how much it was going to benefit them. And so with very little pushback and, you know, nearly 100% compliance, within a very short period of time, they were able to switch over to this new billing practice. And, you know, like you said, just, you know, wow, we don't have to chase, you know, collections anymore. You don't have to chase after these invoices. This is great. We should have done this a year ago. And that's what I love. I love seeing those instant results.
Now, this may be a difficult question because you may not be able to answer it. But, you know, when you see like the Dog Whisperer shows and mm-hmm. so forth, they always talk, you always see the successes. You never see or hear about the cases where the dog was just a bad dog and
yeah.
it was incurable. Are there situations that you run across where, for one reason or another, things didn't work out?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I look back at those, I mean, they're great learning experiences. A lot of it really happened when I was still supporting businesses by, you know, project management or doing like assistant work or managing, you know, customer service or a different aspect. And what I noticed is that when the business owner was not being authentic, when they weren't being honest about what they needed, it nearly always blew up in their face.
Hmm.
And it's really hard because, you know, one of the things I teach is how to hire. and how to be very, very clear when you're hiring about what you want. And so I get to tell my clients, if you need an assistant and you're really, really nervous, and you want that assistant to check in with you by phone every single morning, put that in your job description. Tell people that's what you need to feel confident, to feel secure, and to be happy about the person that you're hiring.
Well, let's stop you there for a moment and ask you, you know, because I tend to agree with you. And we've had an internal debate at times, particularly my wife and I. She's my director of finance and in charge of personnel. Mm-hmm. But when you do look for somebody, how honest is being too honest? I mean, you know, you describe what exactly you want, but are you honest about the stress or the negative aspects of the job, or what I guess could be perceived as negative aspects of the job? Because my perspective is that, you know, I want anybody that's going to be hired to know exactly what's expected of them, so that I, knowing myself, don't then feel bad about asking them to stay late or to be available on a weekend, you know, or to run to the store in the assistant aspect, run to the store and pick up some supplies for the office. You know, and I think that if that is laid out for somebody in the very beginning and they come on board with eyes wide open, then they really have no grounds to complain on the tasks assigned to them. But other people say, you know, you don't need to tell them every negative thing or every possible thing that might be perceived negatively when they're looking. How do you strike that balance between getting the person that's going to accept and be, that is the job for me, I'm ready to go, and not put up such a perspective that somebody might get turned off or frightened in the job interview prospect that, oh my God, this sounds like a crazy environment?
I think it's really important to be as honest as you can, you know, without, you know, just talking about all your flaws and, you know, sometimes in our office, the toilet backs up. I mean, that's not necessary, but I try to think of it as, if I were to read this job description and go in for this interview, and is it going to be a bait and switch? Is it going to be, oh, we forgot to tell you, or we didn't really want to mention? Because I think it goes back to having faith that there, I mean, with our economy especially, there are so many qualified, amazing, talented people looking for work, and they want to work in an environment that's well-suited for them as much as you do.
Right.
So I've never worked with a client that had such unrealistic expectations they couldn't find someone. Now, if they're a very, very tough employer, you may have to pay more, you know, because you are asking for someone with such a wide range of skills or a wide range of time available. But for the most part, I end up finding people who they read the job description and they feel like, oh, you wrote this for me.
Right.
You know, and I write job descriptions for my clients that are very, very blunt. You know, we do not engage in workplace drama. If you want to talk about the mess of your personal life or whatever is going on at home, you know, please do that on your personal time, because that's not something we need in our business right now. And some people think that's harsh. And yet, when you get into that team and everybody's on the same page and nobody's like, well, you didn't say that I shouldn't be doing this or I shouldn't act this way, it just relieves that stress of, you know, it's hard enough to find a good employee that you really connect with. It's much harder to let them go because they're not doing something that you wanted them to do from the beginning and you just weren't that clear about. Now you're, I guess this isn't going to work out. So
yeah,
I always prefer to be very, very, like, take much more time hiring to find that right person. And to me, that starts with being just completely honest about what you need so that the right people can show up and apply for you.
And it's going to be more efficient that way, I imagine, as well, so that you're not spending time, particularly when time is a commodity in and of itself, you're not spending time on people that are not interested in certain tasks or not what you want. I mean, if
Absolutely.
You have a description, they should be what you're looking for. And I think one of the things that I've learned myself is, and I was kind of setting up the question to a certain extent, but what I've learned in handling that is I'm on board with you, being full disclosure and not being apologetic. The job is what it is. This is the business that we're in. This is the job that we need, and these are the requirements. And if we can work out, you know, and obviously every other criteria is met that they're looking for in the interview process, then great. But if you go into looking for a job from an apology or apologetic perspective, that's going to cast negativity where there need not be any. Do you agree with me on that?
I definitely agree. And even to the extent of how many hours are available, because when you work with online contractors, there's a lot of, oh, I'm sorry, it's only 3 hours a week. And really, you just have to firmly say, right now we're looking for someone for 3 hours a week. If you need more right off the bat, you should probably look elsewhere. We do hope to increase maybe to 10 to 15 hours a week down the road as you've proven yourself. That's fine kind of doing these if-then statements and letting people know. And I usually put in there, we're looking for people who will be flexible with changes because systems are meant to change and adapt as your business grows. And I have never liked working with people, even in corporate, who, if you made a change, they just flew off the handle and they were so upset. How dare you change this? And it's like, all we were doing is moving lunch from 12 to 12:30. It's not a big deal. But I say up front, you know, we want people who can be flexible with change. Here are some changes that might come up, but here's what it is right now. And you're right, not apologizing for that, because that gives them power right away. It lets them say, oh, they already feel bad about making this offer. And really, you just want to go in confidently and say, this is what we know we need in our business. And if you're willing to help and provide that, then we should take the interview to the next step.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more on that. And I want to pick up on another term that you use that seem or has been consistent throughout many of the guests that have been on Startup Radio, and that is team, the importance of team and fitting into the team. And when you talk to people about interviewing or any other kind of systems, do you find that they agree, or do you find that the collaboration or the cooperation among the team members is a significant element to the success of implementing any systems that you might propose?
Yeah, when we develop systems for a business, even if the client is just, you know, a solo entrepreneur right now, we try to look at the ways that other people can support them. So let's say that you're developing a newsletter system, and my client's really fighting because they're like, I really don't like HTML, and I hate that I have to change this and this and this. You know, that usually indicates to me you should hire it out so it gets done consistently, and you only have to do, like, the part that you like. So we try to build systems with a team in mind of how can you bring in a team to do these elements, and that also helps making writing job descriptions really easy. But what I find is that when you build a system that depends on more than one person, that team has to work together. And it's no good, and I've worked in teams very early on that they'd say, you know, well, that email was ready to go out. Well, how do we know? You know, well, so-and-so wrote it. Okay, but so-and-so was supposed to send it. And if there's bickering within the team, then it just becomes, you know, pointing fingers and blaming instead of understanding how we work together to help each other.
Right.
And some of that stepping in and being able to support each other if somebody's out. I have two virtual assistants, and, you know, one had a family emergency just recently, and we were able to shuffle things around because they're both trained on many tasks, and we're able to support each other in that time. And, you know, a team that, you know, is open like that for collaboration will always, in my mind, outperform one where people are competing, and they're just out for themselves in their own hours, or they're
right.
out to make someone else look bad. And that's something that when I interview, I usually go over is that, you know, we have, you're not the only one on the team. You will be expected to work with other people and, you know, get along with them and, you know, not really try to hold anything hostage. Because that's something that I noticed in some online businesses that struggle with communication is that people get very, very nervous when you talk about systems because it brings up this fear like, well, you're just writing down this system so you can replace me. Or, you know, you're just doing this so that you can find someone who can do it cheaper and get rid of me. And so that causes a lot of distrust. And we always go into systems with an existing team with this open communication that we're here to work better as a team and we're here to help you be the most efficient at your job and do the things that you do well. And, you know, it's really just being upfront and open about why we're doing this. You know, this isn't to cut costs. This isn't to, you know, replace you. And that kind of communication just has to happen from the owner or the leader of the company. Otherwise, you get people who are so concerned about why you're doing this that they're not cooperating in the process.
Now, what are some of the more common requests common problems that you've come into contact with or are faced with from your customers that, if you can give us, without revealing all of your trade secrets, if you could give us a little tips or things that maybe someone can take away from the show, and then obviously I hope they contact you for more help. But what are some of the more common problems that small businesses or startups, entrepreneurs contact you about?
I think one of the biggest ones is how to launch what they've been working on. So entrepreneurs like to, you know, experience all that they know and go out and do some research and start building something, whether it's an app or a new program. And then once they kind of feel ready to, like, get it out there, then they kind of are like, okay, what do I do now? And so a common client request and things that we work on is, you know, launching your program or launching your offer in a way that people will actually notice. Because there's so much going on, there's so much noise on the internet, that if you're not clear, you know, it's just going to pass through the eyeballs and nobody's really going to pay attention. So, you know, a lot of times, and I have a lot of content around this on my site and free resources, I find that people just sit on what they have. And if you were to go up and talk with another entrepreneur and what have you been developing, what are you selling? They'll tell you some amazing programs that they have ready to go. And they're not out there. They're not on their website. They're not being talked about. And, you know, I look at this and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not a web designer. You're an amazing web designer. Why aren't you telling more people you're a web designer? And so a lot of it is around, you know, regular marketing or promotional marketing for a big launch or something to just get out there. Because I found that, you know, even in my business, when I got clear, this is exactly what I do to help people in their business, the first time I said it publicly, I had a client within 2 minutes. And I find that there's just a lot of like, oh, I'm a coach. Oh, I do apps. And as soon as you clear that away and help somebody say, you know, hey, I have an app that allows you to add people to your email list instantly so that you grow your list faster and get better conversions. As soon as you say something like that, people start to take notice. And so I love working with those struggles because there's so much like right under the surface. And it really is just helping my clients express that in a way that their ideal clients say, ooh, that's me. Like, I'm right here. How can I work with you? What do I need? Where do I sign? Because, you know, I called it in a recent class, get off your assets. Like, you're just sitting on your assets and wondering why people aren't hiring you or they're not downloading your product. And, you know, you're just sitting on them. And I hate to see that because I know how much entrepreneurs are learning and developing and building something great. And then when they start to promote it, that's when they get stuck. And that's when they say, oh, you know, should I tweet twice a day? You know, is a Facebook ad necessary? And they just get stuck. And all the work and all the brilliance they've poured into this new offer is just sitting there. And I love that because there's so much there. It just needs to get out.
Right.
So, and I find it really is just, it is that process. I say, get off your assets and start talking about it. Start sharing it every way you can think of to everybody you know. Tell them what you do. Tell them who you work with. Tell them why this thing that you've built is going to help people. And the more comfortable you get doing that, the more you hear things like, you know, oh, I need that systems person. Oh, you mean Kelly. And I love it when I hear that because, you know, I've helped educate the people I know about what I do.
Sure.
And even if they're not a current client, they're bringing me referrals. I'm like, wow, this is easy. I don't have to search for as many clients because they're coming to me. And that's a place that we all want to be in business.
Right. You're absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more on that. Well, talking about that process, how has your growth occurred? What are some of the obstacles that you face yourself in running your business?
Yeah, I think back about a year ago, I had opportunities, and if everyone looks, I mean, there's opportunities right there. And one of the opportunities I had was to do an interview, and it was for a site that I really admired. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. They invited me. Ooh, I just don't know. And it was all internal. It was just confidence. And, you know, I was confident in my knowledge and my skills and that I could present, but it was that confidence of like, ooh, should I do it? And what do I do next? Like, I've been invited. What do I do next? And so I procrastinated for weeks until I finally just said, okay, I got to do this. And I reached out, and within a few weeks, recorded the interview. And a few weeks later, it went live. And it was a huge turning point in my business. And just that one interview has led to several clients. And I mean, these are clients who came to me and said, how do I hire you? Like, that was the extent of our conversation because, you know, the interview just so clearly identified who I work with. Hmm. And so, you know, the interview brought me clients. It brought me more opportunities, more networking, more experiences like writing for Forbes and U.S. News. And it just kind of almost was the turning point to launch my business in a bigger way. And it kills me now to think, like, I had that opportunity in my life, and I almost let it pass.
And you would have been looking back and had the next, you'd be reading about the one that took advantage of that. Well, how did you get the Forbes, you know, to be able to write for Forbes and these other publications?
Well, actually, after I did this interview with, it was Andrew Warner of Mixergy who invited me to speak on systems to his audience. And Andrew's a member of a group called the Young Entrepreneur Council and then extended an invitation for me to join the council. And again, I was like, oh, you don't mean me. And actually, I think I archived the email. I didn't really look at it. And then he responded and said, no, you need to check this out. And I'd been looking for a networking group, and I didn't want a local one because I travel so often. And so the Young Entrepreneur Council is a nation and international-wide networking group for young entrepreneurs in a lot of different fields. But they really just look for the leaders in the industry, you know, who are, you know, head of, you know, founders of sites like, you know, Rent the Runway or Threadless, ModCloth, Reddit, like Eye Contact. And they're just, you know, these top entrepreneurs under about, I think, the age of about 40. I'm not sure on the age range. But just people who are very inspiring for accomplished so much at a young age. And so I applied and was accepted to join the group. And
because from what I understand, that's an invitation-only group. Is that correct?
That's correct. And they it's based on referrals. So a current member has to reach out to invite. Which is what Andrew did, and that's why I was like, are you sure? You know, it was, again, just internal confidence that, yeah, you need to be in this group. And so, you know, I got into the group, and one of the member benefits is that they have relationships with 40, 50 odd media outlets. And so they work with the media outlets and say, what do you need? You know, what subjects do you want guest writers on? And so, you know, again, they bring me these opportunities, and it was just about saying yes over and over again. And, you know, there was a time a year ago when I think, I just don't have the time for that. You know, I can't be, you know, writing these series and, you know, doing these media reach outs and interviews, and I just don't have time. But what I've done is, over the course of the last year especially, creating more systems that my team can take on for me, I'm able to do more marketing.
Right.
I'm able to do more speaking and writing opportunities because all that other, like, technical stuff is taken care of. And that's what I want to help people see is, you know, systems aren't there so that you can now work 18 hours a day and make more money. Systems exist so that you can work more on the things you want to work on and less on the things you don't, and grow your business. Because, you know, being, you know, in the New York Times, or having, you know, having a series in the Washington Post, those things aren't something I would be pursuing if I didn't have a team backing me up.
Hmm.
And so that's what people usually see, is there's all these things that they're inspired to do. Maybe they want to write a book or launch a, I helped a client launch a radio show or do a telesummit. And there's these things they really, really want to do. This is what they're passionate about. This is what they want to get up early in the morning to do, but they think they don't have the time. And so systems will help you take the things that you really don't love doing and give it to somebody who on your team who loves it.
Give it to somebody else, right?
Yeah, free that time up, even just energetically and emotionally, so that you don't feel so stressed. Because we all get that way, where we're like, I have too much to do. I can't even, like, eat lunch today. I've got too much going on.
Who is the candidate for your services? If somebody's listening right now, and I know that there are some people out there listening, and they'll listen to the program afterwards at Startup Radio, they'll be able to listen to streaming. How will they recognize, although I imagine that many of us out there have already been listening to this and saying, my God, I need to call Kelly, but how would they recognize, who is the person out there, or the startup, the entrepreneur out there that needs you today?
I think there's the one commonality for the ideal client that I work with is somebody who sees in their business that there's a gap. There's something they're not doing. And that could be speaking. That could be marketing more regularly. It could even just be, I'm not blogging. And they see it, and they feel it, and they know they need to be doing it. And yet, if you ask them, so what are you doing to get to that goal, they're like, I'm drawing a blank. I don't know what to do because I don't know my next step. And a lot of the products that I've been developing and make available are helping these clients say, okay, here are my next steps in crystal clarity. And they come with coaching support, and they come with accountability, so that, you know, what was once really impossible, like it's impossible to get my newsletter out on time, is now easy. You know, it was impossible to promote my book. Okay, now I have a plan. And it's really just thinking about your business and thinking, you know, what is that thing that I know needs to get done and I know isn't getting done? And if I could just get it done, I'd be so much happier. Some of my clients, that's just emails.
Right.
If I could just fix this whole email thing and, you know, stop the spam messages and respond to people without waiting a month, I would just be so relieved. Other people, it's a really, really big partnership or launch or something. But you all know that there's something in your business that you're not doing that's weighing on your mind. And those are my ideal clients because, you know, we can talk about if there's a program for you to, you know, get that accomplished so it's off your mind and it just gets done.
So if they are now saying, yes, that is I or that is me, mm-hmm. how can they get in touch with you? What is the best way to go about getting in touch with you?
Well, my website is shesgotsystems.com. And on the site, there's several pages. Any of the forms will put you in contact with me, and I always send out an email to welcome you. But it's got some resources, so if you kind of want to test drive and see what the systems are like, I have a free video series on hiring help, and it's 5 days to finding fabulous help for your online business. And I also have that launch teleclass to help you get off your assets and get into action and launch your new program or offer. So all of those are available at shesgotsystems.com, and my contact information is there on the page. Because I know if it's not, like, you know, right there front and center, some people don't ask. But we're actually developing a new site that's going to be featuring a lot of these products to show, you know, if you're struggling with this, here's a resource available for you. And I do a lot of collaborations with people who are experts in their field. So they're a financial planner, and we're creating the resources to help you get your finances figured out. Or they're a lawyer, and you need some, you know, you need some help getting into action, creating that LLC. So I'm also working with a lot of people collaboratively because, you know, I don't have the highest level expertise in all the areas of systems to the extent that my clients need. So I'm partnering with the people who do so that you get expert advice and step-by-step implementation help so you know what to do next.
And that's the way to go about doing that. I mean, you know, talking from a law firm perspective, when clients call me, there are definitely areas that we practice in. But if there ever is a nuanced area that I recognize that I'm not as well versed as somebody else, you know, we can always call and bring in our colleagues and consultants and so forth. And I think, I don't know about you, Kelly, but what I've found is when you're honest with your customers in that regard or potential clients, when you're honest and say, look, I'm pretty confident that I can help you, but if we ever come to a point where there might be a situation that I'm not able to help you, then or that I do need to reach out and get some supplemental information, that we're going to do that. I've found that people are receptive to that when you're honest with them in that regard.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Well, we have time for callers now, and I'm going to – one of our callers dropped off but is back with us. I'm going to allow Hugh – who's with us to ask you a question. Kelly, go ahead, Hugh.
Hi, Kelly. I like what you're doing, and it's the way of the future. I have a self-taught expertise of what I term creative utilization of information, and I'm creating right now a passive income strategy for restaurants that I'm just starting to roll out that has unlimited potential. So it's really about people coming together in caring, sharing ways with their networks, and that's going to take it away from the elite. So I congratulate you on what you're doing, and if I can share my name, I'd love to have you come to me to see what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
Do you have a question for Kelly?
Well, again, related to what she's doing, is she using it more on information rather than just products, because information drives everything?
Yeah, it does work for both, because, you know, when we're working in a launch or even just promoting an existing program, product, or offer, it really does vary based on what you have. So I help people launch services and products and, you know, programs that are information-based. And so a lot of the systems really will dial into what it is you provide and the unique specialty or the unique benefit of it. So, you know, for your example of working through this information, you know, a lot of the systems would hone in on, you know, what your information gives that isn't easily available elsewhere. And, you know, the systems can be applied, like I said, to any number of launches or offers. What most people I find want to know is, what do I get? You know, do I get time with you? Do I get recordings? Do I get reports? Do I get content? Like, tell me what I get, and then tell me why I need that. And so that's one thing I was talking about when you're developing something that's so great. A lot of times we just get sucked into what it is we've developed. And, you know, not to pick on them, but I think people who work a lot with coding and with apps have this because they understand the features and they understand how it all works on a coding level. And then what I do is I help them say, okay, but your client doesn't know, like, what the code is. Your client wants to know how it helps them. And so a lot of times, you know, even if it is an information product, it's just about clarity to your ideal clients that, hey, you're my ideal person, here's why, and here's how I can help you. And
great.
There's a lot of, you know, flexibility in there. It's hard to, without getting into a lot of specifics for your own business view, but yeah, it's about sharing what you do and what you provide.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Hugh, for that question. And Hugh, if you hold on, I'll put you in the green room, and perhaps you can pass your name along to Kelly at the end of the show. We have another question here for Kelly from Mark. Mark, go ahead.
Hi, yeah, I was just curious, a lot of the systems that you implement, do you collect a lot of data analysis from that or a lot of data mining, or is it your goal just to get the results that you need to get done?
Both, because a lot of times we do tracking along with what we're implementing to make sure it's working. And so, you know, if you're going to be launching, you know, a new newsletter or an email strategy, you want to make sure it's actually producing results so we can tweak it along the way. I think if you're asking, like, do I kind of look at what's worked historically for my clients, everything that I'm – one of my, like, strengths that I discovered early was that I'm really good at input, so I love to, like, gather all these different ideas and ways in my database of options. And so when I'm working with someone, I can say, here are three or four different strategies that have worked in the past, and based on what I've done, here's the one I think that might work best for you. So it's not so much saying, like, you know, 8 out of 10 clients get success with this. To me, it's helping to open up the ideas and then understand, you know, because I know all the nuances of that particular campaign or strategy, you know, let's learn from these other ones and plug into your business. We do track through metrics for that business because I want my clients to know that it's working. And if there are things that we thought would work really well that aren't, then we have an opportunity to tweak them until we get the results that we want. Because, you know, I tell them if it was a guaranteed thing, I would quit my job and move to Vegas and play, you know, the slots or whatever. But, you know, it's a process of adjusting and making sure that, you know, we have the metrics and we're tracking so that we can know if we need to make any adjustments along the way.
Great. Well, Mark, thank you very much for your question. I appreciate it. And we have time for one more question, and that is going to be from Stephanie. Stephanie, go ahead.
Hi, Kelly. I noticed I was searching for She's Got Systems online, and the first hit there is kellyacevedo.com, and that's actually where she'sgotsystems.com redirects to. And I was wondering, how did you make your branding strategy decisions like that? You know, it's one of the first steps that I think a startup has to do, and how did you go about yours?
I think, actually, most branding people hate me for this. My brand has really evolved because what I knew in the beginning is I didn't have a color scheme and a logo picked out. And I knew for me personally, those would be ways for me to distract myself because I'd want everything perfect. I like having things done right. And so I consciously decided that the most important branding that I could do was content. And I could just get out the content that I have to help people. And so the first thing I did was I ignored all of the branding experts, and I just put so much content out on my site and started establishing what I do. And then I slowly backed into last year, you know, the logo and the tagline and the colors and the, you know, the image of my business, and all in line with who I serve and what I do. And the reason She's Got Systems redirects to KellyAzevedo.com is because the She's Got Systems site is doing that overhaul. So I'm really excited to actually relaunch it. But what I think is that the brand will evolve as you go. And for me, like, all those branding decisions were paralyzing. I was like, what if I choose the wrong color and spend all this money on web development and then I hate it, or my clients hate it? And so I actually just took the direct opposite approach and said, you know, I'm going to get my content out there and really settle into my field, my ideal client, my industry. And then all the, you know, the polish to me came a little bit later. So that was just my way of doing it. Most branding people gasp and hate that. But really good question, Stephanie, because normally it's it is really hard to make those decisions. And I just decided to go full front with content and get that most important thing out there first.
Great. Well, thank you for the answer, Kelly, and thanks for the question, Stephanie. And I think that has just about brought us to the end of the show. Kelly Azevedo, I very much appreciate you taking the time out from your busy schedule and speaking with me and answering the questions of the guests. Thanks again, and we'd love to have you back at a later time.
Thank you. Yeah, this was a lot of fun, and I love hearing these questions. It always gets my mind running, so I definitely would love to be back.
Great. Well, I've been talking to Kelly Azevedo, and you are listening to Startup Radio. I appreciate everybody who has taken the time to listen, both now live and later. Please feel free to listen every Monday, nearly every Monday, at 3 p.m. Central. And upcoming, talking about that, next week we will have the individuals behind Unsubscribe Deals. Have you become fed up with the daily deals routine, and are you receiving too many emails? Well, listen in next week to Unsubscribe Deals, and we'll have a lengthy, interesting discussion on that. October 1st, we've just confirmed having individuals behind Red Lotus Tech talking about their technology and their efforts to help clear landmines using your iPad, iPhones, I believe it's iPhones, to clear landmines. You've got to listen October 1st, Red Lotus Tech. And finally, yet to be scheduled but confirmed as a speaker is Nicole Braddock, who has started in her spare time, being an attorney as well, has started Custom Counsel, fitting stay-at-home mom attorneys, from my understanding, working part-time, doing legal work for small firms and others out on the West Coast, and we'll see if that's going to be expanding. So we have a great lineup: September 24th, Unsubscribe Deals; October 1st, Red Lotus Technology; and in the future, Nicole Braddock of Custom Counsel. Again, Mondays at 3 o'clock, 3 Central, is when we have our live show. And today, again, we have Kelly Azevedo, and I very much appreciate her being a part of the show and everybody that came on to answer questions, ask questions, and get them answered. I wish you all the best. Have a great Monday and a great week.